Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that Odyssey app. It is coming up on 5:11, 68 degrees on this Friday, June 27th, 2025. And like every Friday, it's time for Do I Have a Case with attorney Keith Figured of the Figured Law Group. Keith, thanks for joining the Rob O'Donnell Show today.
How you doing, Rob? Hello, listeners. Glad to be here, as always.
Yeah, a little cooler on this Friday than it has been the past couple of week or so. So we'll jump right into today. And again, it's these short questions that scare me when I see them. So I bought a house and believe the seller withheld major defects like prior water damage. Do I have any recourse?
So in Pennsylvania, if you believe the seller withheld information about major defects like prior water damage in a newly purchased home, you may have legal recourse. Now, the specifics in terms of whether the recourse I'm going to be focusing on, of course, are for Pennsylvania law and general real estate principles. But specifically, under Pennsylvania, there's the Pennsylvania Real Estate Seller Disclosure Law. And under the disclosure law, sellers are required to disclose any known material defects in the property to prospective buyers before the purchase agreement is signed. So a material defect is defined as anything that significantly impacts the property's value, safety, habitability, which would include things such as prior water damage, flooding, and mold issues. Now, the seller also is required, which I'm sure people have gone through this process, to complete a seller's property disclosure statement, which covers structural issues, plumbing, roofing, and any history of water damage or repairs. So sellers are not required to investigate or discover unknown defects, but they are required to disclose what they know. So if the seller lacks expertise in construction, failure to identify a defect might be considered an honest oversight. So in that instance, you would want to, or the individual would want to look for evidence of concealment, which can undermine that defense. So now, in order to pursue legal recourse, the individual must establish, one, that the water damage or defect existed prior or before the sale. The seller knew about the defect and failed to disclose it or intentionally misrepresented the condition. You as the buyer relied on the seller's disclosure or lack thereof in deciding to purchase. And then, of course, the damage, which is incurred monetary damage, which would either be repair costs or property value loss. Now, the evidence to support that would be photos or physical signs of concealed damage, contractor testimony confirming that the damage predates your purchase, possibly neighbor statements about prior water issues or repairs known to the seller or the seller. And then, of course, a good place to always look is prior insurance claims or repairs recorded the seller didn't disclose. Now, one thing to remember that's extremely important in these types of cases is that usually there's an obligation to mitigate your damages, which means if you purchase a home and you move into it and there's a leak, you can't just let that leak go on and destroy the rest of the house. Not only can that preclude recovery of your damages by failing to mitigate that damage, it can also preclude your insurance from covering it, because a lot of times under your insurance, it requires you to mitigate that damage as well. Now, as far as the recourse, obviously the first thing you would want to do is try to contact the seller and put together something organized, indicating or outlining the defects, evidence of non-disclosure, and the repair costs, to see if you can resolve it amicably. And if not, then you would have a number of legal actions. There's a number of statutes, so as with all of these, you always want to speak with a real estate attorney so that you act timely, and so you know what your options are and what the potential costs are going to be to pursue it. But you can potentially have claims for breach of contract, fraudulent or intentional misrepresentation. I'm not 100% sure, but there may be claims under the Unfair Trade Practices and Consumer Protection Law, another one would be the negligent representation. And then, like I said, you can file a number of places, whether it be small claims court or state court, and then other parties to keep in mind as it pertains to this claim is the seller's real estate agent. Agents may be liable if they knew about the defect or failed to disclose issues they observed. The home inspector, if you had a home inspector who missed obvious signs of the water damage. And then again, you also want to check your own insurance to make sure that if you do have coverage, that it's covered. Because a lot of times you may be able to get it covered under your insurance, and then they may themselves hire their own attorney to go after the party responsible to get their own money back. So yes, there is recourse, but the bottom line is if this happens, you want to speak with an attorney, and then they can help organize and, I think, get you on the right track.
All right. Great answer there in depth. Next question here. I was rear-ended in a parking lot, and the driver does not have insurance. Do I have a case? Can I hold anyone else like the lot owner responsible?
Well, the short answer is yes, that they do likely have a case against the uninsured driver, as they are almost certainly at fault for the rear-ending of this individual. The only way they would be able to, I would think, exclude damages if they could some way show that the person stopped purposely or for no reason and they were the cause of the collision. That being said, assuming the person that hit them was liable, even though they don't have insurance themselves, under Pennsylvania law, first off, not having insurance is a criminal offense because under Pennsylvania law, it requires all registered vehicles to carry a minimum liability insurance of $15,000 per person, $30,000 per accident, with $5,000 for property damage. Driving without that insurance, as I indicated, can result in suspension of license, jail time, fines. Now, if the person doesn't have insurance, you can pursue a claim under your own policy, and that would be what's referred to as UIM or UM coverage, which is uninsured or underinsured coverage. Now, the problem with this is that you have to have it on your policy. It is a protective benefit, and they do have certain safeguards that prior to waiving or signing down that coverage, they require to provide you notice, and they actually have to have that they provided that notice and your signature on it before they change those benefits. That's because they are so important. People that don't realize that's the benefit that protects them when somebody is underinsured or doesn't have coverage. Now, under PA law, whatever your bodily injury limits are, so if you have $15,000, $30,000, $100,000, $300,000, your underinsured, uninsured coverage typically equals your bodily injury limits, again, unless you waive it or sign it down. So that would be one instance in which you would be able to pursue a claim, albeit the driver doesn't have insurance. Now, if the driver did have assets, you could pursue a claim against the driver. However, that doesn't happen very likely, because if you have assets, you're most likely going to have insurance. And if you don't have insurance, you don't have assets. Even if you have a judgment, you're not going to collect anything. So then the only other potential claim, which I think in this instance is whether or not the lot owner can be held responsible. I mean, it's unlikely, but there are situations in which if you can establish negligence, such as whether a poor design, inadequate signage, hazardous conditions, poor lighting, that was the reason for the accident, then you can potentially have the owner of the lot responsible. But again, you would have to establish that they were somehow negligent in causing the accident, as opposed to this driver's negligence merely as opposed to the driver that was at fault merely being responsible. So again, in this instance, and of course, when this happens, you'd most want to definitely take pictures. Anytime an accident like this happens, or any type of whether it be slip and fall or any type of claim, one of the biggest things I think that people don't do is preserve the evidence properly. So, I mean, right now with the phones and cameras, I mean, and you can video, that's one of the most important things, because if you're going to establish that there was poor lighting or some reason this other individual hit you, if you don't preserve it at that point in time, you could lose that evidence forever. The other thing you might want to do is look for cameras. Now there's cameras almost everywhere. But the first thing is call, have a police report, have them come. Of course, since he doesn't have insurance, you want to have the police make that report, and then I would say after the report's filed, meet with an attorney, and then they can go over what the best way would be to move forward.
All right, Keith. Sounds great. Since we were pretty in-depth in the first two questions, we'll keep the third question for next week's segment of Do I Have a Case? If someone wants to reach out with you offline for a more personal question, how can they do that?
They can contact me directly at 570-954-9299. They can reach me by email at keith@figuredlaw.com, and they can send inquiries to my website at figuredlaw.com.
And again, if you would like a question featured on a future segment of Do I Have a Case, you can email me at rob.odonnell@odyssey.com, and we will get those questions to Keith in a future segment. Keith, thanks for joining us this weekend, this Friday, and have a great weekend.
Thanks, Rob. I hope you and your listeners have a great weekend as well.
All right. Thank you. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show as we sneak into the last half hour of the show here. It's 527, 68 degrees. Hopefully you're not the working man or woman anymore. Hopefully you're on your weekend time and you can enjoy that time for you and your family. And you know what? Give your loved ones a strong hug tonight. If you're not around them, give them a call. Tell them you love them. Tell them how much they mean to you because life is fragile, my friend. It is fragile indeed. So, Kamala Harris keeps, I know a name I haven't said in a while, nor do I want to, but there's news, so we're going to talk about it. So Kamala Harris keeps eyeing the California governor's race, but Democrat donors seem doubtful. Now, this is the woman, the vice president at the time, that was coronated to run for president. She was the chosen one after Joe Biden was so swiftly shown exit stage left to lead the party. There was all sorts of fundraising going on. Well, even though some of the venues and vendors in our area still haven't been paid by that campaign. Deadbeat Democrats. Go figure. So, but she wants this California governor's race. And personally, I think it's a step backwards. Listen, you were a district attorney, then you were attorney general of the state, then you were a senator, and then you became vice president. You ran for president. Hey, it didn't work out for you. I get it. To then go back and run for governor of your state, listen, and regardless of who gets the next job as governor of California, it's not going to be an easy task. And Kamala Harris hasn't been known to be the brightest politician in the bunch. So is it just to say I did it? Or I mean, I look at it as a step back. I would imagine most people would. But, you know, she wants to go out on a W and maybe become the governor and, you know, give her word salad press conferences. And then she could go on into the sunset and do whatever she wants to do. But when Democratic donors seem doubtful of her run there, this is someone the entire Democrat establishment told us was going to be the next president. She had the skill set, she had fortitude, she had the money behind her and everything else. Well, it turns out that they were running out of money towards the end because they were spending so much to try and win a race that they kind of knew when they looked at the polling honestly and not the nonsense they were putting out to us that she wasn't going to win that race. And now they kind of don't have faith in her to win a California governor race. So Democrat donors are like, yeah, maybe you want to sit this one out. And I think that just should show the rest of us here of what they really thought to begin with. But they were going to put everything behind it, especially the people who showed up for her and campaigned with her husband and all the rest of the shenanigans that went on to try and get her elected, especially here in Pennsylvania. And it obviously did not work. So, you know, when Democrat donors are saying, yeah, maybe not, people should listen. But will she listen? I don't know. Will her ego and the people around her in her little bubble telling her, well, you could win? And again, all those people are depending on jobs, even just campaigning. Even if she doesn't win, it's another year of them living off the system of campaigning. So, of course, they want her to run because they're going to raise money from everyday Americans who are going to believe their nonsense and rhetoric and give them money to jet them around the state and around the area, have them wined and dined and do their campaign stops and shake hands and smack babies and everything else I guess they do. But we'll see where it goes. But just looking at the article now, and we'll see if she makes that decision or not. It's 5:31 here at WILK. It's time for the news with Paul Michaels. You know, life has a funny way of reminding us just how fragile it really is. One moment everything's normal, your routine, your plans, your little worries. Then something happens, a phone call, a diagnosis, an accident, and suddenly everything shifts. The things we thought mattered so much don't. And the things we pushed aside, the people we told maybe later, the time we thought we had plenty of, it all feels so small, so temporary. We're not promised next week, not even tomorrow. And yet we move through our days like we've got all the time in the world. We hold grudges like they're trophies. We skip the call, cancel the visit, rush through dinner. We stress over bills, deadlines, and broken appliances while the people we love wait quietly on the sideline, hoping for our attention, craving our presence more than our perfection. But the truth is, none of us are getting out of this life unscathed or guaranteed a long one. And in the end, it's not the achievements or the bank accounts that will matter. It's the moments, the laughter at midnight, the hugs that linger a second too long, the hand you held during the storm. It's the people, your family, your friends, the ones who would trade anything just for one more time with you. So pause, look around, let the laundry sit, let that email wait. Pick up the phone, hug tighter, laugh louder, say the things that matter while you still can. Because life is short, and love is the only thing that makes it worthwhile. Make it count. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. As we start to wind things down, if you're just joining the show or have joined us somewhere towards the end of the show, the monologue that I just did, let me pull it up again. It's not our normal, upbeat, feel-good Friday monologue, but I think it hit the tones today. I titled it The Only Things That Matter, so that's going to be up on our page as well later, as well as I will share it. But, if you're just joining, why was it a little different today and such like that? Earlier today, I found out the news that I lost a dear friend of 22 years, friend of my entire family, someone who's been probably at every important milestone over that same period, mentor to all three of my children, combat veteran, American patriot, American hero, business owner, family man of our own area here in Northeast Pennsylvania. It's just devastating. I got the text message that it had happened, and I literally read it a dozen times trying to make the letters make sense. I mean, I could obviously read the text, but it was like I was looking at each letter individually, trying to make it make sense and trying to understand. That's how surreal it was. And I got on the phone and spoke to a mutual friend who was there and told me what happened. And you can hear another American patriot. You could just hear the devastation in his voice. And then I had to, reach out to my wife first thing this morning and tell her, because, again, this is a friend of my entire family, one of my family members, pretty much. And, she's thankfully with my son, so she told him when he woke up. And my daughter, the nurse, sensed that something wasn't right with some of the tones in my text, and she asked me what was up. So I told her, and again, she was just with this individual, a couple months ago, saw him before she left. And then we have yet to tell my youngest daughter, who was out in the field doing her Marine thing today, because I knew it would devastate her. Like I said, a mentor to all three of my children, one of the most positive people, and who at this point is not important. My goal is to let the family grieve in private. But a lot of people are grieving. The most upbeat person that I've ever met, the most vibrant person that I have ever met, and there's not a person in my own personal family that says any different. That's how hard it is. And since I got this news earlier today, and I was trying to negotiate, should I take today off? Should I, you know, try and be there around them just to, in the peripheral to, if in case they need anything or a hug or just to cry with. And just before I got the notification that this happened, I had talked to Pennsylvania State Treasurer Stacey C. Garrity, who was on the show today at 4 o'clock. We're also going to have that interview up on our social media as well, so you can listen to that again if you did not hear it. And because I made the commitment to interview her and get her on, I felt the duty to come in and get through the show today. And, you know, I was trying to figure out, you know, you look at news stories after getting news like that, that just totally, I have heard my friend's voice in my head since I got the news this morning. You know, maybe it's him talking to me now. Maybe it's my memories. Maybe it's just trying to deal with the trauma myself. But, you know, trying to get a show together today, I'm looking at the everyday news stories like, you know, why does this even matter? How insignificant a lot of the stuff we focus on. And that's where I got the monologue. You know, I first thought, you know, there's no way I'm going to do a Friday feel-good monologue today. But, you know, the only things that matter monologue, I think it resonated. So, you know, we put it together and I got it. You know, we played a couple songs from Pete Scoble, who was a former Navy SEAL. Lieutenant Commander, was on some well-known missions that movies have been made about, and just an outstanding career. And he has a couple of albums where he really poured his emotions out to his in his songs. So we played a song at the opening of the show, and we played one during the Let's Talk Heroes segment, Unfinished Business, because I felt they were fitting. You know, they're helping me grieve, and if they do that, and I know through the text messages I got, and I thank them all. You know, others are feeling in similar situations. I've gotten text messages from people. It's the anniversary of their parent passing, and you know, thank you for doing this today because it's making me feel better. And I've gotten a couple of those. And you know, we had Lorraine call with a poem about loss that she had in there. So. You know, me coming in today is proud of the grieving process, I guess. You know, my duty to you, my listeners, my dedication to you, my listeners, and, you know, taking off today would have probably been easy. You know, I could sit and dwell in my own sorrow. But I'm kind of forced to deal with it here and blend it into, you know, a product that I want you to know and deserve. So, you know, if I didn't get to as many news stories today, you know, I think we had a well-balanced show. If I didn't get to a lot of the things that we normally do on a Friday. I like to keep Fridays light and upbeat, but life isn't light and upbeat. Sometimes life throws you punches, and you know, my entire family feels like we've been punched in the gut. And there's dozens of families, if not hundreds of families, feeling that very same thing right now in Northeast Pennsylvania for the very same person. That's how special they were. That's how a beacon of light their life was and is and will always be. My thoughts and prayers go to their family. And use this, if anything else, to call the people in your circle that may be not around you and tell them how much they mean to you. The ones that are around you, take some time to grasp them. Take some time to hold on. Take some time to say thank you. Take some time to say I love you. Because that time's not guaranteed. And I learned that firsthand today. I literally talked to this person yesterday. We had plans for tomorrow with a whole group of us. And now there's just a missing piece. But through faith, that piece will be fulfilled again. Sooner or later, one day. But, you know, sometimes you have to keep it real. So we're going to kind of tone down the show like I started the show with some music. So we'll be back Well, that's it for us on this Friday, June 27th, 2025. I appreciate all the text messages today. They've really meant a lot. Don't worry. I'm fine. I'm in a good place. I'm just didn't really have the time to process what happened today, what I was told first thing this morning. So this is part of that process. So we'll be good. So yes, remember the good times. That's part of what's being done. But still have to process the loss, try and understand it. Because like I said, I literally read the text messages this morning a dozen times, looking at the letters, trying to make them make sense. Maybe it's my brain telling me I didn't want it to make sense. Maybe that's part of it. But that being said, thank you for being with me for the ride today. I am glad I came in today, spent the time with you, had some great interviews, talked about the normal stuff we talk about, but was able to get a lot out, maybe go in a direction that this show doesn't go in a lot of times. You kind of heard a lot from the heart today. So that being said, remember the advice I gave you about your loved ones in your circle. Make sure you don't take them for granted. If not, it looks like weekend's not going to be too bad. Sunday's going to be gorgeous. So make some plans. God bless. Be safe. I'll see you on Monday.